Your Honor, thank you for the opportunity. My name is M.J. Spencer. I represent the appellants in this particular matter, Assisted Housing Group, as well as the Assistant Office of Advocate. I would like to reserve a few minutes in conclusion of my argument for rebuttal of the attorney. Thank you very much. In this court, obviously, I'm here against the relatives of the parties. And the notion that I keep coming back to is that no one is going to enter into a multi-million dollar business deal with a company that doesn't exist. And that's exactly what happened in this particular case.
I should confirm that the corporation was an operation lender.
There were other opportunities invested had to hear some mistakes that we had during this period of time. One of which was the Nevada West deal. And the Nevada West deal essentially would have been a transfer of the Austin invested over to Nevada West for a profit.
You know, the company
And let me back up just a moment. We would not have done the deal having that's who's alleged that he came as a complaint. And that's an issue that I think has to be taken as true for purposes of a complaint. It is plausible, and that is the standard. Now, discovery will flesh out those issues, and the appellees and the defendants would have an opportunity to challenge that assertion. And that's essentially what it's about. I think it's not a question that they look for there. It's just that, there's two possibilities here. Either your client specifically inquired about whether or not they would what's incorporated in specifically to this court, or if you're a lawyer and you're now using those numbers in the data.
I think that is such an emergency.
I understand. And I think to answer your question, I don't believe it was a specific attempt to confirm that AJE had been formed at the time the purchase and sale agreement was executed. But what the client did was rely upon the representations contained in that purchase and sale agreement. And I don't think my client was under an
obligation to rely on that agreement for it was to be right.
Yes.
What makes me close on it is not to be incorporating that.
It is. We're talking about two different things. The failure of the development. Okay, that results in some financial losses. False timing.
The result of that,
That's correct.
So, that was the reason that the deal was up. Because the parties were actually wrong, right?
The relationship between the parties itself and the business deal as it was indicated in the purchase and sale agreement went down because of financial losses. But that's not the I don't believe that the same issues that we're talking about frankly have any relationship to one another. Because nothing else says there's representation made regarding the Henderson Parking Ventures entity. We didn't have knowledge that that entity didn't exist. Our position is, had we known, we would have walked away, and there were other opportunities which the employees were aware of that we would have gone away. Yes, that's right.
And would it have been more or less the same company before I actually covered it?
No.
Okay.
It would have been different cases. I identified earlier that the Battle West deal was a straight transfer of interest, whereby an investor would receive a net profit, so basically a market. And so an investor would have received, under that scenario, a minimum of $1.4 million. Now, there were other opportunities, and whether the companies knew of those other opportunities, I don't know the answer to that question, but there were other opportunities.
Mark, are there witnesses that seem to be known to the HMD, but not in fact incorporated as a community? You would have wished to have known for us that this document is
what the party pressed a few years later. Your client would have been out of it, and you had other needs, and pressed the market, and you had to make an impact on the general business. That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct. Yes. And to just emphasize an additional point, is that in addition to the foregone opportunity with another developer, our client signed some $800,000 worth of development costs after the PSA was executed in the anticipation that the apartment complexes would be built on that particular site. And again, at the moment, an agent may not have been formed as an entity that my clients wouldn't have sunk that $800,000 into that development. And this is an additional point to the agents that we identified in our complaints in this particular case.
So it seems to me, if I understand your theory correctly, it all comes down to whether the material to your client that agent A was indeed incorporated at the time they signed the deal. Perhaps the choice for that material in your client's sense is
absolutely different. We would not have continued with the deal. We could have known that AJB prison yards incorporated in this legislation. And I've only heard another member earlier today discuss about its reality, and you're exactly right. The formation of HAB or the non-formation of HAB was at its early times in this business case a virtual redundancy of these two entities or multiple entities were anticipated to go into business in a multi-million dollar project. And so we were lost. We lost the opportunity to look at different avenues and do different things with the assets that the city has by virtue of their failures and flaws that HAB had identified. But we haven't seen specific relationships with others who are prepared to take cases as a consequence of the community for the prosecution of these cases. Thank you.
for losses under the purchasing sale agreement after the market crashed. So they may have to purchase the property on a guarantee of the LPA agreement. So they sued Mr. Miller, and he comes in and chased the county and said, you know, you can't enforce the purchasing sale agreement because you are incorporated, so you can't get that finding. So we think that was the case. So principal has to set up a clock and then move on. But we're not fine because the principal is sued using that finding in an offensive tax.
And so to your
case.
Thank
don't recall specifically that any complaint came from me. Which I understand that it is a court that's not required to be on the complaints that are coming to the district court. So as far as whether there is or isn't, I don't know about your prior statement. So I'm just going to say something. I think it's important to keep in mind that Judge Jones, in the initial case that was AJB versus Andrew Miller, in his order granting Sanders a bill of summary judgment, he specifically avoided the purchase of Zimmerman. It does not exist. And in turn, the loan purchase agreement, which came after the PSA, it's our position we never would have entered into the purchase agreement. Obviously, if the purchase and sale agreement was not entered into,
I don't think it's just the owners of the loan. It's just the members of the community. It doesn't remove the members who are ours today. Your version of the issue is that AJB is in the
way. No, that's the correct approach. Because we didn't vote, we didn't have any support.
We didn't have any support.
As to whether AJB had been incorporated, when it had been incorporated, as well as whether where it was a citizen or whether where it did business or those relationships. But specifically, and that's a point that I'm going to touch on, with regards to the statute of limitations, the statute of limitations is generally a question that we argue about the applicable statutes of limitation in this particular case. Our position is that all of the statutes of limitation in this case are 4 years, with the exception of fraud claim. The fraud claim is under 3 years. So that's obviously important. And then finally, as far as the judges were concerned, the loan purchase agreement that we have been able to consistently produce, the agreement at the end of the purchase agreement was in fact voided by Judge Jones. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you all for your argument. And that concludes my case study.